Revelation chapter 5. Just going to read one verse. Well, let's read 2. Verse 8 and 9. It says, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation.'" And the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow together in prayer and ask God's direction. Father in heaven, we're so thankful once again, Lord, to come before you. We thank you for your many blessings upon us. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And Father, once again, we approach it reverently and humbly, realizing, Lord, that this is not just a Reader's Digest, is not just some magazine, but this is your word. And Father, help us, Lord, to take the truth that we see in this, Lord, and put it to practice in our lives. And Father God, we give you the praise for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I've entitled the message, God's Priority. What is it that God is interested in, or God is concerned about? Sometimes we sing a song like, you know, he's coming soon, and we talk about Jesus coming back and all these different things. And sometimes, I remember years ago when I was just a young fellow in church, and was one of my friends was there, and in a service we were sat together, and he wasn't saved. I was saved. He wasn't saved at the time. He got saved after. But I said to him, I said, "Why don't you come and give your heart to the Lord?" And they're singing the song, "He's coming soon," you know, in the after service. And he said, "Steve," he said, and I believe it was 1941 it was written. He said, or something in 1941, he said, they were singing that, he said, way back in the 40s. Now, for us as young fellows, that was a long ways back, you know. He said, they were singing that way back in the 40s. He said, he's not here yet. And he said, he might never come, you know. And, but what is it, you know, why is it that the Lord hasn't come? Or, what could be the reason? I believe one of the reasons, probably we just mentioned it in the verse we just read there then, he said, "You've redeemed us out of every kindred and tribe and nation and tongue." You've redeemed us from all these different categories. And sometimes we look at it and we look at the world and we say, well, you know, all the world hasn't been reached yet. All the world hasn't been reached yet. And the writer, or John, here on the Isle of Patmos is writing this, and he saw this vision, and this is what he said. He said, they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." We're living in a day when mission agencies are reaching all over the world. And many of them, you know, sometimes we think of the big evangelistic mission agencies by denomination. Sometimes they have a lot of missionaries going out. And I know in Newfoundland, when we were with the Pentecostal Assemblies, there was a lot of missionaries that we sent out every month. They would take up a missionary offering to send, you know, to keep them on the field in Africa and Taiwan and different places wherever they were gone around the world. And sometimes they went to the big cities and things like this. But, you know, there's... The Bible mentioned here every tribe. Tribes are little ethnic groups sometimes, and sometimes they're far off. We support the Bill Prankard Evangelistic Association, and every month he sends a CD with a message of the month, and it's basically just a recap of what they've been doing the month before and things like this. And it's always interesting because when you turn it on and listen to it, he talks about how he's gone up to the north, to the native people up there, the Inuit people. And he goes up there, and sometimes they go, and they're traveling for days just to get to probably 100 people. He's talking about how he went to Siberia, and they go in, and there were somebody, I think it was 2 days, traveling by some kind of a tank thing that was used in the Russian military, but they've used them up there for getting around. And he said, they were going across, he said, and he went through the ice and things like this. He said, the water started coming in, and they had to get out. But was, he said, fortunate for us, he said, there was another one traveling with us over a little bit further, so we all got on that one, and he finally got the other one out and things like this. And he said, we did all that, he said, to reach a group of 100 people that never, ever, ever heard the name of Jesus. Never, ever heard of him. Not, you know, not that they didn't care about it, but they just never, ever heard that there was a person named Jesus. And he said, we did that, and to him it was a thrill to be able to go and preach the gospel where it's never been preached before. God has raised up certain people like that. Brother Weller, you know, goes over to Bulgaria and Macedonia and places like this, places that are normally forgotten by the bigger church world. And sometimes goes, we go up in the mountains there sometimes, and we went over the first year. Last couple of years have been pretty good. June can remember this. We went to one place. We had 8 people show up for a service. You know, here we are coming from Canada, you know, flying over there for whatever it is, 12 hours or so, late, and getting on another flight and going to farther again, then getting in a van and traveling up the mountains and, you know, things like this, and staying up there and to reach 8 people. You know, and you think, well, is it worth it? You know? Well, the Apostle Paul went across from Troas into Philippi and reached just two or three women. But that brought the gospel to Europe, and we're a result of that today because it spread across from Europe and came over here and was brought over here, and we have the gospel today. So, you know, we talk about sometimes, let's not despise the day of small beginnings. God moves in these small beginnings sometimes to bring something as large. Jesus himself talked about the kingdom of heaven. He says, like a grain of mustard seed. Though it's small, you know, and sometimes we reach people that's just a small group sometimes, but we need to get the gospel to them. And the Word of God tells us in Matthew 24 and 14, that is when Jesus was up on the mount, up on the Temple Mount, and the disciples all came to him because, you know, all the buildings were there and things were going on, and they came to Jesus. They said, Master, come and look at the buildings. I mean, they were amazed by the buildings. And Jesus told them, and you know the story, we covered this in a series a while ago, and we talked about it in our cell groups and everything else. Jesus said, the day is coming. He said, not one stone is going to be lifted upon another. And they said, well, tell us what it's going to be like in the last days, and, you know, the signs of your coming. And Jesus went on and gave them so many different signs. Nations will rise against nations. There will be wars, there will be famines, there will be earthquakes and all these different things. And he said, that's not the end. He said, that's the beginning of the end. And then in verse 14, he said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So I believe God is waiting until the gospel is preached to all the ethnic groups, all the little tribes and villages and everything else. They need to have a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was looking at television a while ago, and Peter Youngren on Grace TV, and he went into Indonesia and India and places like that, and preaching the gospel. And he said, you know, sometimes they travel so far as they can get in cars and things like this, and then they get out and they got the camera crew and everything with them, and they start walking by foot and they go over the hills and everything else, and they come and they reach this little village, probably just a few people in there. And they start preaching. They go, he said, he went to one place and they were showing on TV there last week, and there's a big tree just outside the little village, and everybody in the village came out to worship at that tree. They thought that tree was some kind of a deity. And they would bring and they would sacrifice animals out to this tree and everything else. And he came there, and as he was there, now I don't know if the guy was bringing he had a goat over his shoulders. And I don't know if he was bringing him out for the sacrifice or he's just taking him home or what he was doing. But he took the story then, he took this and he used it as an illustration to tell about how Jesus talked about the 99, you know, the sheep that were lost, you know, one sheep that was lost. And Jesus talked about, you know, the shepherd went out to get that sheep. And he used that to the man, you know, there with the goat around his neck. He used that as an illustration to reach these people with the gospel. You know, and we see this happening all over the world. It seems like people are realizing, yes, we got to reach the multitudes. But listen, there's little villages, there's little nooks and crannies around the planet that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I believe this is God's priority, is that we would get the gospel out and be able to reach people. When this is Missionary Sunday. And when we give to missions, sometimes we look up here and you know, we just raised $9,000 right here. This is on top of the, you know, we only started this, I don't know, somewhere around the spring of the year or somewhere. And $9,000 raised for these two churches. And we'll be dedicating one of the churches over there when we go over there, and the other one's for a piece of land for a church. And we'll be involved in that. But this was, I was saying earlier this morning, we're only a small group. But God has blessed us because we've been faithful in the mission part of it and reaching out and taking the gospel to other people. And so when we give in the missions, we're not just trying to reach a goal for the sake of reaching the goal. The idea is to use those funds to reach out to ministries, so that they can take the gospel to other people. And just to throw this in, and as we're going through this now, I had a phone call from Pastor David Tolman this week, and his son Stephen was in hospital. He had his appendix ruptured and things like this, and he was in serious condition. I haven't heard anything back since then, but keep him in prayer, as Stephen Tolman, Brother David and Elizabeth Tolman's son. So keep him in prayer, missionaries in Mexico that we support down there. But we support these different missionaries around the world, and we're only a small group, and we do what we can do, and there's other churches obviously just doing their part, but we're trying to get the gospel message out into the world. And sometimes it's not an easy job for these people that are out there. But God cares about every tribe, every person on this planet. Jesus, when he came and walked along the shores of Jordan River, when John the Baptist was baptizing, John said, "This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins, not just of Israel, but the sins of the world." And we need to understand it. But we're going to look at a few scriptures here. This is what God says himself about his priority. Psalm, in the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 22, verse 27 and 28, he said, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations." As God's design, God's plans that all the world would come to him. The Bible talks about Jesus is going to come back and set up his kingdom on the earth. And all the nations, the Bible says the knowledge of the Lord will fill all the earth. As God's plan, as God's purpose in missions and in the church, as the church's mandate in the world is to get the gospel out. In the Old Testament again, in Psalms chapter 67, verse 3, he says, "Let the people praise thee, O Lord, and let all the people praise thee." And then we have Old Testament commands. Psalm chapter 96, verse 3 says, "Declare his glory among the heathen." You know, when we go out, we preach the gospel to the heathen, we're declaring God's glory to the heathen. The heathen are people that don't have a relationship with God, that knows nothing about God. Getting back to Pastor Weller and them again, you know, his ministry. They go over there, they go up to the mountains. We went over a couple of years ago, the first trip we were on. We went up to this high mountain, and we were not far from the Greece border. And the fence was there where the communists used to be at and everything else. Where people weren't allowed to get over into freedom and things like this. And people up there had never heard of Jesus. And I remember now, and I'll never forget this. One night we went up there, and they were supposed to have a place for us to have a service. When we got there, everybody seemed like didn't know we were coming. That's what it seemed like. And they had a club. Everybody's in there drinking and smoking and different things and sitting around and doing things. And we all came in all dressed up for church, and everybody started looking at us like we're from a different planet. And so we went in, and we didn't know what we should do. And finally somebody said, "There's a room upstairs." So everybody that was in the club, there's probably 30 of them there, all came upstairs. We got some pictures. A fellow reached out through and picked, was some fruit that he called it, he picked off and gave to me, give me a big kiss, you know. And this is their custom over there. But the thing is, like, you know, we went up there and all these people came up, and we preached the gospel to them and shared with them. Pat had a ring on her finger and gave it to one of the ladies that was there, and because they had nothing, absolutely nothing, you know. So we were there, and this one fellow, he took a liking to me because he always holding onto my arm and everything else. And you know, we're different, I guess. But anyway, but the thing is, like, you preach the gospel to them, and, you know, they, at the end of the service, we gave an altar call. They all stood up. They wanted to receive Jesus through the interpreter lamp. We prayed with them and things like this. We don't know. All we can do is plant the seed and try to water it the best we can. And I know it's so far away from us here, but we go back there, and you know. But I can remember that night when we got there, there was one woman that had heard that there were some Christian people coming. Now, it's a Muslim territory. I should have told you that up front. It's a Muslim territory. Everybody there is Muslim. And I can remember as we were there, it was dark, and the roads were rugged. It was not like roads we have around here. It was just cow paths and everything else. And we were up there, and I can remember they had a piece of concrete put across because the water was coming down and washing at the road, drawn down through, it was on a slope of a hill. They had a piece of concrete put across there to try to slow down the water and different things, and the road was all trenches going through it. And there was a lady down there. I couldn't pick her out. We could see her form walking up the hill, elderly lady. And she wanted to come up to the service. And her husband would not let her come up to the service. And he was threatening. Now, the interpreter explained to us what was happening. He was shouting out from the house door, telling her to get back home. Because if she went up there, he was threatening he's going to kill her. And she had to turn around and go back. We don't realize the privileges that we have and the freedom that we have in these countries. You know, to go to God's house whenever we want to. And a lot of times, even then, we stay home. And these people give their lives sometimes to, you know, to be able to just sit in a gospel service. And so we try to reach these little nooks and crannies sometimes. And it's not, you know, the big glorious things that you see sometimes, you know, big revivals taking place. But these people need to hear the gospel. And it's our responsibility. And this is what he's talking about. Every tribe and every nation and every tongue in the world would hear the gospel. Jesus himself tells us over in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. And this will be in your cell group lesson, this verse here. Jesus tells us, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Not just the Christian nations, not just the nice friendly nations. But he said, go and teach all nations. You know, it amazes me. You know, I'm not a fellow that takes a lot of chances. You know, when we were growing up and things like this, and fellows, you know, were getting out on fast bikes and fast cars and everything else. I'm not saying it's wrong. You fellows are doing that. That's your own stupidity. I had enough sense to realize that, man, I'm going to take my time and drive, you know. And I'm not going to take these weird chances and put my life on the line just for a thrill or something like that. But, you know, there are people that go into these nations. I was talking to Pastor Doug Porter. Now, Brother Doug passed away last week. I was talking to Pastor Doug, and I probably mentioned this to you one time before. He was in China preaching a few years ago, teaching the people. And Doug said, I had all my points down, you know, try to encourage them and everything else about preaching the gospel and reaching out to their neighbors and things like this. And he said, one young man came up to him after in the teaching, and they had people gather around for prayer. And one young man said to him, through the interpreter, he said, I want you to pray for me. He said that I'll have enough strength to do it. And Doug said, well, you know, he thought, well, you know, need a bit of encouragement or something like that. So he started praying. But he said, after he started to pray, he said, and at the end of it, he said, he was talking to the interpreter and, you know, got the full story of what was going on. This man knew that he was going to go into an area in China that he knew that the gospel message had never been, and they hated anything to do with Christianity. And he was planning to go in there, and he was, as far as he was concerned, he's going in there, he's going to preach so long as he can until they kill him. But he's going to do it. And Doug said, all of a sudden, he said, it hit home to me. He said, how important it is to, you know, because we come up, I pray for you, a little prayer and things like that to send you off. But he said, that man, he said, was giving his life for it. He was willing to give his life for it. He just wanted the strength to be able to hold on until he, as long as he could, and preach as long as he could until he died. Because he knew they were going to kill him once he got in there. And that was a commitment, but he was determined to go. You know, and we've had it so easy for so long that we can't go to church if we got a toothache. You know? Anyway. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now sometimes, I've read this, and I start thinking about the week. Sometimes we read this, I'm with you until the end of the world. And we say, well, that's the time period, you know, the last days. But I think there's a whole lot more to it, to the end of the world and the time period. And I believe that's in there as well. But the end of the world, I believe, is a location. It's a place. It's not just a time frame. It's a place. He said, I'll be with you until you reach the last part of the world. What did Jesus tell us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? He said, ye shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. The uttermost parts of the earth. So God's desire, God's priority is get the message out. Get gospel salvation, the gospel of salvation. Spread the message out to the world that the world would know. Paul talked about the very same thing in Romans chapter 15. Paul says, I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard, shall understand. Paul talked about it several times. Paul wanted to go and preach the gospel where other people had never been. That was Paul's desire, not to go where somebody's already preached the gospel. You see, this is, again, going back to Bill Prankard, you know, Evangelistic Association. They want to go up north here in Canada. They go up into the north, and they preach to little groups of people, and he's showing pictures where he's gone into little igloos in the wintertime and preached the gospel just to a family. You know, and prayed with them and things like that, and shared to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he would move on and go down, you know, so far again, and he'd find another little igloo somewhere. And he'd go in and he said the people were friendly, so they were nice. He had an interpreter there, and he would share the gospel with them, and they would move. And he said that to him gave him more thrill than having the big crusades that he has. He said because he knew that he was reaching people never ever heard the gospel before. I can remember years ago, he was in Newfoundland, and holding a crusade. And I can remember, he said, he flew into some place up in the north here in Canada. And he said, as he was, he went into this community, he preached the gospel, and people got saved and different things. And he said, there's a man got saved, he said, and he said, he can remember him in the service getting saved. And he said, at the end of the week, or at the end of the time period that they were there, he was getting ready, he said, to leave. And he said, as the plane, he said, would just start to take off across the snow. He said, this man started running out, this man that got saved earlier in the week. He started running out. And he started shouting something, and he had to find out from the interpreter what he's saying. And the man was saying, what took you so long? What took you so long? And he tried to explain, well, we did our best. We tried to get here, you know. But the man said, my wife. And he pointed over like this, and he's pointing. That's what Bill Prankard was saying. He was pointing and shouting. And when he found out what he was saying, he said, my wife died 3 months ago. Never heard the message. What took you so long to get here? God wants us to reach every last village with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when this gospel is preached in all the world for a witness, then the end will come. Now we're making strides. I mean, the church worldwide is making strides. They're reaching out. They say in the last few years that, you know, it seemed like there's a focus change, that instead of trying to reach just the big masses, and thank God for that too, because sometimes they reach, you know, multitudes, hundreds of thousands sometimes in one crusade. But there's also little villages that don't even know there's a crusade going on, don't even know what that is. But they need to hear the gospel as well. And that's our responsibility. That's why we give missions. That's why we help out little churches like this here over communist countries that never ever had a chance. I mean, you wouldn't believe until you got over there how much communism has destroyed the spirit of the people. They got no desire to do anything. They got, you know, somebody gets saved. Some of the churches, I mean, this is exactly how they started. People got saved, and all of a sudden they met together in somebody's house for prayer or something like that, and somebody started reading the Bible. They said, you're the pastor. You'll be our pastor. Had no training whatsoever. We go over and we try to help them out and try to give them a bit of encouragement and things like this. But, you know, these people, many of them started out, have no knowledge of the scripture whatsoever. There's a pastor over a pastor of sin, used to be a KGB agent. He started a little Bible school in his church, and because he had some training and things like this, and he went and got his master's degree and probably doctorate. I'm not sure what he got, but anyway, I get so many degrees in theology and things like this. And he started teaching some of these pastors and sending them out into the, and these go out into little villages, and you go into some of these places, man, and the churches, I'm not exaggerating, church is not so big as this platform. And you probably got 15 or 20 people in there. You know, we went to one place, and I told you before, we went to one place, and when I went out, I had to run out to the bus to get some Bibles to bring in, and went out, and this man was sitting up at a door like this. Another fellow was sitting down on it was a concrete wall there, he was sitting down on a concrete wall smoking a cigarette, and I just nodded my head to him, you know. And they told me after, he said, you've never done that. He said, those Muslims, he said, dairy or chicken, see what we're doing in our service. You know, now, I didn't know the difference. I just, you know, this is in the evening, it was dark. And I went out, went on down, probably about here to probably where the parsonage is at, a little bit farther than that, to the bus down on the road, picked up the Bibles and came back up again, and I didn't know there was any danger to it in that sense. But the thing is, like, I mean, there are people, there, and some of the pastors, I mean, they've had threats, their children have been threatened by the Muslims and other groups that are there, threatened that they're going to kill their children and everything else if they keep preaching the gospel here. There's one fellow, we go up to one of the mountains there, up to a little town called Devon. Well, it's not a little town, it was a town probably about Sison Avenue called Devon. And they call it the Philadelphia Mission. And we go there, and we'll go there again this year. And this is where I was telling you earlier, we went, there was eight people there. You know, they got a mission. And the Muslims convinced the people that these Christians sacrificed their babies. And he went there and he got raided by the police 3 or 4 times when he tried to start up a little church there. He got raided by the police and everything else because there was all kinds of these rumors going around. These Christians sacrificed their babies and they buried them and all these different things. And the police were coming in and checking them out and things like this. But they said the breakthrough came. There were some drunkards in the town that they've tried to do everything with. And they're causing all kinds of problems. And this pastor, Pastor Ancho, he went just a very quiet man. I mean, he wouldn't say boo. Like, you know, just very, when he speaks, he's very soft-spoken. He just stands in one place and just, you know, and you think, but, you know, but yet for all, I mean, he felt God to let him up there. And he prints a magazine every month and sends it all over Bulgaria, a Christian magazine and things like this. He was a engineer, I think, by trade. Just gave it all up to go up into this mountain to preach to the people. And we were there last year. We had 30-some-odd in the church last year. You know, just in a couple of years. And people are getting saved. And but he worked with these drunkards, these alcoholics. And he started getting them off drugs and getting them off alcohol and things like this and getting them back to their families and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, then the people start to realize that these people aren't bad after all. They're there to help us. And then all of a sudden, the mayor, we were up there last year, and the mayor got saved. Matter of fact, the mayor's wife got saved a couple of years before that. And the mayor threatened that if he ever comes, because he went down to this village where the mayor was living just outside and preached the gospel. And the mayor said to him, he said, if he ever comes here again, he said, I'll shoot him myself. And we were up there last year. Now, I never met him. We were out somewhere else, and Pastor Willer went back. He got called back, and this is what it was. The mayor was there. And he gave his heart to the Lord sometime before that. And he was there talking about how much he hated Pastor Ancho. And he said, now he's my brother. You know, the gospel makes a difference. But, you know, you got to reach sometimes one person at a time. One person at a time. Sometimes there's a great big influx of people. And other times, just one at a time. One at a time. One at a time. But God is laying a foundation. I believe that there's going to be a revival that's going to sweep this planet before Jesus comes back. I've gotten off course here, but let's get back. Jesus said that we're going to all the world. And as I said, I don't believe that's just a time period. I believe that's a place, a location. When we reach the end of the world with the gospel. I'm not saying there's a specific location that, you know, but I'm saying once we reach all the people groups, all those locations, then the end will come. Getting back to what we started out with, Revelation chapter 5. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. That's the big picture. That's what the gospel is all about. Some people say, well, I thought being saved was just about me and my family. You know, making me happy, meeting our needs. But that's part of it, no doubt about it. But there's a bigger picture than that. There's a whole world out there that needs to hear the gospel. John the Baptist said, this is the Son of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The world needs to hear that. I just quote, finish up with this passage here. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, notwithstanding, verse 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Paul is saying, and this is, they tell us this is the last letter that Paul wrote before he died. They said, Paul is saying, he said, the Lord used me, he said, to preach the gospel to those that never heard it before. He said, that by me, Paul said, the gospel was preached. And he said, no one else stood with me. If you read the verse before that, he talked about it. He said, you know, he went to Rome and he's lifted with all the authorities and everything else. And Paul was left by himself. And Paul said, at the first, he said, no one stood with me. He said, but nevertheless, he said, the Lord stood with me. And this is what he said. There's 4 points in that verse. He said, the Lord stood with me. Jesus said, lo, I am with you to the end of the world. I'll be with you. He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Paul said, the Lord stood with me. And then he said, he strengthened me. And the reason he strengthened me is to preach the gospel. So Paul said, the Lord stood with me. He strengthened me that I might preach the gospel. He said that the preaching, by me, the preaching might be fully known. Paul said, that's the reason I was strengthened, that I could preach that gospel. And he said, the reason for that, he says, that the Gentiles, that's the heathen, the people that had no covenant with God, that the Gentiles might hear. There's a song we sing sometimes in our hymn book, that every kindred, every tongue on this terrestrial ball, to Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all. I was reading a story years ago. It wasn't years ago. It was only sometime this year, months ago. And I probably already mentioned, I'm not sure. This person was, he went into some place, I think it was in India, went into some jungle area. And when he went in there, he walked out into this open area, and he said, all of a sudden, he said, he heard some rustling. He said, he turned around, he said, everybody's coming at him with spears. And he had them all surrounded. They were all holding the spears up to him like this. And he said, he had no idea what to do. This is the first time he ever saw a white man. He didn't know what he was. And he knelt down. Now, I don't know how, they never said in the story how this worked out, but he knelt down and he started to sing. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. And he said he closed his eyes, he knelt down and he closed his eyes, and he said, these people all stood around with spears. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, as he started singing, he said he heard some rustling. And he opened up his eyes and he said, every one of the men, he said, we're all crying. I don't know how he understood the language, if somebody was, I don't know if he knew the language or what, but he's just talking about how he sang it. And he said, every one of the men were crying. And he said, he got up and he said, and he started to explain to him how God sent His Son to die for them. And he said, all the men that were around that were there ready to kill him gave their heart to the Lord. And that began a foundation for a church here. You know, we need to go into these little villages, these little areas. And Paul said that was the reason, that was his purpose in life, is to spread the gospel. Paul said that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul said, Lord, even when I die, he said, let my death glorify you. That's how committed Paul was to this. Let my death glorify you. God's priority is to reach the lost. I'm just going to read a song. I try to find it. It's not in our hymn book, and it's not in any of the hymn books I got up here. I got three or four of them there, three of them. But this is a song, and you've heard it before. It's called So Send I You. Anybody ever hear that? I heard it on the radio this morning. And I started thinking, man, that ties in perfectly with the message this morning. So Send I You. And this is what the song says, because sometimes we think of, you know, working for the Lord is all limelight, is all glorious and everything else. You know, I told you one time before, I listened to a fellow preach a while ago, and he said he was flying from one city to the next city, and he had to preach and different things. And he said, everybody talks about, you know, the wonderful life of the evangelist. He said, you don't realize, he said, packing your suitcase. He said, going up there, he said, and getting a hotel and staying in the hotel. He said, and sitting around, he said, waiting until the service comes. And he said, praying and everything else and asking God to bless the people. And he said, you go back, and said, everybody else has gone back to their homes. And you go back to your hotel room again, he said, and you go through it. You're preparing for the next night. He said, you're doing all. And everybody talks about the wonderful limelight. And he said, there's a whole lot more to it than the limelight. You know, there's a whole lot more to serving God than what looks exciting. Sometimes there's an awful lot of commitment. This is what the song says. It's written by Margaret Clarkson. I don't know the history of the song, but this is what it says. It says, so send I you, this is God speaking to us now, so send I you to labor unrewarded. A lot of people are going to the ministry if guaranteed money, guaranteed this, guaranteed that, guaranteed something else. God said, I'm sending you out unrewarded, to labor unrewarded. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, and unknown. You go into some of these little villages, nobody knows who you are. The world forgets about you. To bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing, so send I you to toil for me alone. Second verse is, so send I you to bind the bruised and the broken, over wandering souls to work, to weep, to wake, to bear the burden of a world aweary, so send I you to suffer for my sake. The Apostle Paul, you know, remember in Acts chapter 9, there were light shone from heaven and Paul was stricken down to the earth when he gave his heart to the Lord? Paul said, I heard a voice saying, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And what Jesus was referring to there, all through Paul's life, Paul was going around, you know the story, Paul was a terrorist. Paul was going around gathering Christians and killing them. When Stephen was killed, Paul was there and gave consent to it, the Bible says. And he was hunting down the Christians. But Paul would see as people were dying, they were saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And this was getting to Paul. And the Holy Spirit was pricking him. And when Paul fell down Saul at the time, when he fell down to the earth, and he heard his voice, Jesus said to him, Saul, he said, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now, Jesus was in heaven, but Paul was persecuting the church. He said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. And Paul said, well, tell me what I'm supposed to do. Now, switch the picture for a minute. Over at another place, there was a man named Ananias that was praying. And God spoke to him and said, listen. He said, I want you to go, he said, and pray for a fellow down on Straight Street. King James calls it the street that was called Straight, so Straight Street in Damascus. And Ananias said, okay, who is it? And God said to him in a vision, he said, it's Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias said, hold on now. He said, I've heard a lot about that fellow. It's like us, all of a sudden Obama, or Osama's, get two of them mixed up, Osama bin Laden, if he got saved, you think, man, there's something fishy about this. And that's how he felt. And he said, Lord, he said, I've heard a lot of things about him. But God spoke to him. He said, listen, he said, go down, he said, and pray for him. He said, well, I've already showed him a man named Ananias coming to pray for him. So I guess he was roped in. He couldn't get out of it anyway. He said, I already showed him that you're coming. But notice what he said. He said, tell him what things he must suffer for my sake. See, a lot of times we think serving the Lord is all just a bed of roses. No, sometimes it takes some commitment. Tell him the things that he must suffer for my name's sake. And this is what this is saying. So send I you to suffer for my sake. So send I you to loneliness and longing, with heart a-hungering for the love and known. In other words, you're wishing you were back home with your loved ones. Forsaking kin and kindred, friend and dear one, so send I you to know my love alone. So send I you to leave your life's ambition. How many of you have got your ambitions, what you want to do with your life? See, when we make Jesus the Lord of our life, we're not our own. Remember the Bible tells us that? You're bought with a price. You don't belong. See, you don't add Jesus on to you, my ambition. I'll add Christianity to it too. No, when he comes in, he takes over. He takes over. He owns your life. So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self-will resign, to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mine. Then the last verse is, so send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend, though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. When Jesus came to the earth, he tasted of Calvary. And he's telling us, this is what Paul talked about. He said, even in my death, let you be glorified. May God be glorified. And this is, you know, as we're closing up here this morning, God's priority is to reach the lost. This is Missionary Sunday, when we take a time to think about missions. God's priority is to reach the last person on the planet with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How important is that to us today? And I've already praised you and talked about, you know, giving to the offerings and things, and really, I mean, it is something to be thankful for. God has blessed this church because of it. But is that all there is to our commitment? Just put $20 in on Missionary Sunday? Is that all there is to our commitment? That's part of it, obviously. But how concerned am I about souls? How much time do I, and I'm asking myself, I'm not being hard on you, I'm being hard on myself too. How much time do we spend praying for the lost in the world? even in our own families, in our own neighborhood. A lot of times we pray for our own little families, but how much time do we spend praying for Canada as a nation to be saved? How much time do we start praying for people that never ever heard the gospel in other countries, that never ever heard that there's a God that loves them? How much time do we spend for that? How much concern do we have for others? Where do we find our commitment and our contentment? Is it in the Lord, or is there in some hobby that we have? Or is it in serving God? Why is it everything else seems easy to do, but going to church seems hard to do? You know? What are we content with? And I'm talking to myself. Don't misunderstand. I'm not being hard on you this morning. I'm talking to myself. How much commitment do we have to missions? And do we really exist to glorify God as the Bible tells us we should? God's priority is to reach the lost. The gospel of Jesus Christ.